Thank you for joining me on another episode of She Leads Now podcast, where we help career and entrepreneurial women gain the tools to develop a success mindset, create winning strategies, build collaborative relationships, and take bold action towards creating impact and fulfillment in their lives and careers. I'm your host, Sabine Gideon, and I'm on a mission to awaken and activate women and emerging leaders so they can tap into their innate leadership ability, elevate their influence, and create the impact they were destined to make. If you're ready to uplevel your confidence, courage, and influence, you've come to the right place. Join me weekly for insights, strategies, and resources to help you grow, develop, and embody the leader you were meant to be, so that you can make the impact you know you are called to make and establish the legacy you've always dreamed. The world eagerly awaits the emergence of your brilliance, impact, and influence. So with that, let's dive into this week's episode. Good morning and happy Wednesday, everyone. So excited to be joining you on this day. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Sabine Gideon. I serve in the capacity as an executive career and leadership strategist for women and emerging leaders. Also the host of this podcast, She Leads Now, and the founder of She Leads Network. Also, I am the author of Leadership Reloaded, Reimagining, Redefining, and Rehumanizing Leadership. And so with me, I have a fabulous guest. Trust me, you are in for an amazing conversation. We actually did two sessions last year for the release because the conversation was just so rich. And Bertine had so many amazing nuggets of wisdom to share based on the work that she's done with clients and organizations all throughout the world. So with that, without further delay, I will introduce my guest today. So Bertine Crevecoeur-West is a certified diversity executive and experienced management and DEI consultant. She is the CEO of West Bridge Solutions, LLC, and helps businesses with data-driven diversity, employee development, and organizational transformation. She is also a global keynote speaker, best-selling author, award-nominated podcast host, and editor-in-chief of Global Fluency Magazine. With that, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sabine. Congratulations on your book. I cannot wait for the world to see all the magnificence that's in this beautiful work of art that you have created. And I am delighted to be back on the show. I love conversation with you. You are the epitome of a great host because the questions are something I'm always looking forward to. So thank you for having me back on the show. And I'm delighted to be here with everyone.
Well, thank you. And thank you for that. Now I got to come up with really great questions. Thanks, Bertine.
No pressure.
Well, before we get into, you know, deep dive questions, the first and foremost, obviously, you have an impressive background and even so much more that I didn't share based on the work that you've done. And you've transitioned and you've navigated change through your career. And I think this is what career 3.0 at this stage and within that certain several different levels. But for those who are completely new to you, you know, if you would just share a couple of the most significant milestones, career milestones or catalysts for you that have led you to this place.
Most definitely. So my title is different now because as I've evolved into my entrepreneurial journey, stepped into what I like to say is the CEO-ness of myself, the job title along with its responsibilities have also changed. So now I'm not only the CEO of Westbridge Solutions, but I'm the head of business development and strategy. And so a lot of what we do has to deal with strategy, which is kind of what's funny for this particular question. So the first big milestone was me expecting a baby and getting laid off at the same time. And that served as the catalyst for what would become the foundational point of Westbridge Solutions. So it became, I'd never gotten laid off before. So I literally did not know what to do. And we were expecting a new baby. And I said, I wanted to do something where the baby's going to be proud of me. And what evolved from that process of introspection became an internal SWOT analysis. And that's what launched the foundation of my company and the iterations there since. And it's brought us today to Westbridge Solutions, which is a data-driven boutique management consulting firm. And in that, we have one lane, which is strategy, and it's doled out in two ways. So the business development and strategy side, and then the ideas side. And ideas stands for inclusion, diversity, equity advocacy strategies. So A, I love a good acronym. B, it makes sense because we lead with inclusion at Westbridge Solutions, and we're also data driven. So these are the two points that really, the two pillars of Westbridge that make us what we are today. Since then also, we've expanded the team a bit more than even before, yet we are still small enough to be agile and thus innovative for our clients. So I do one thing that takes the form of many other things, but we do one thing and one thing well, and that is strategy. So getting pregnant and laid off, those were two pivotal points in my trajectory. And then really defining who I was. One of my favorite quotes, and I've mentioned this, you know, to people that might have heard me speak before, is from Socrates, "Know thyself." And with each iteration of the business and in my leadership journey, it was an opportunity for me to further know myself. Because the more you know yourself, the more you are able to be a better leader to yourself internally and thus to those that you are blessed to serve. So I'm very grateful for that internal journey to have that, to really align my intent with my impact.
Oh, awesome. And I want to circle back on that know thyself. I actually was asked, I have a podcast coming up, and they asked me to share a quote. And that was actually the very first one that I thought of. But in the context of this conversation, I chose Mark Twain's, you know, there are two important dates in life, the day that you're born and the day that you find out why. Right. And I thought that for that context, but it all still ties in. And so I'm definitely going to circle back to that. So thank you for sharing your background and what you do today. And so we were talking about this in the green room here. You know, so much has changed in the year since we talked, believe it or not. While we can still look at certain things and say, you know, the needle has not moved, which that might be the case, but a lot has changed in terms of the consciousness, the awareness of organizations, of leaders, of employees, of society in general. So from your perspective, a year later, what changes have you seen, and where do you still see there being a huge gap or huge opportunity?
Sure. And I think that's such a great question, which is so expected of you, Sabine. I knew we were going to have some great questions. So when we last spoke, shortly before, well, during our very first conversation, right, which was some time ago, this was on the tail end of the death of George Floyd, and companies with, you know, all of their marketing collateral out there with either like a fist or some type of imagery that they believe signaled their support for equitable treatment of all people, particularly Black people in that moment. I like to start out with, what is the goal, right? What is the impact? And for me, we have to reverse engineer that process to start with the intent. And then we have to close the gap between the intent and the impact, right? So the intent was to show support. The impact was, unfortunately, a lot of performative measures that were being taken because a graphic does not tell me or anyone how your support manifests itself. Right. And so if that's the case for Black people, that is the case for all people, anyone underrepresented in any particular group. Right. That doesn't necessarily mean that is a Black person. It could be a white person at a company and they are the underrepresented party. Right. It could be a woman in leadership who happens to be Black and they are the underrepresented party. So I put that out there to establish some context. But, you know, once these performative measures were put into play, what happened is there was this exponential recruitment process of people for DEI roles. And what I tended to see, some of them, you know, were colleagues, and they were not, and some were clients, and some were, you know, peers. While they were recruited actively and vehemently, and they were told that they would become equitable partners in this journey, because I don't want to call it a struggle. I do feel it's a journey because there should be a final destination. And so they were recruited in this journey, and they were made promises that companies did not keep, simply because companies did not start out with a strategy. So you can recruit all day long, but then when the person is there, what you would start to see is that retention would fall off because they did not start with the goal. The impact has to do with succession, right? What are the next steps in the evolution of our company? What next iteration of our company can we take once we have equitable policies, practices, and procedures? And so because that key point wasn't being met, you hired a lot of people to fill in the gap for performative reasons, right? And these people that were being hired were highly educated, highly qualified, ready to make the change that was promised to them, right? But because that wasn't met with a clear corporate strategy in mind, people left. And so then the words DEI became synonymous with, you know, the letters N-O. Right. Nobody wanted a part of that. Right. And it became like this bad word to have around. And I often think that people are fearful of words that they do not understand. DEI needs to be data driven. It needs to be inclusion led. And by that, I mean, when you lead with inclusion, which means creating equitable policies, practices, and procedures, you create belonging, then community, and then eventually organic diversity. When you are an organization that has these policies, practices, and procedures in place, when you lead with inclusion and equity, you're automatically going to have people of every background want to be a part of your company. And the data shows us that companies that do this are more profitable and they're more innovative. And to that end, their employees are happier. Happy employees are productive employees. Productive employees create profitability and success in the long term. So what I saw was a distortion of a term, right? And a negative connotation given to that term because there was no clear strategy in place. So what we do here is what we do well is that, you know, we are agile. And so we started to see that, you know what, it wasn't about DEI per se. Well, that has a foundational purpose for sure, but it's about employee engagement. And that's that inclusion and equity piece because you have diversity all over the place, right? In a lot of places, I should say. But so what? So what? You have different faces, right? How do you harness the power of those different lived experiences? That has to be led with inclusion.
Thank you for that breakdown. Something that dawned on me is I wonder if we as a society, right, we're doing a disservice by coupling the three, diversity, equity, and inclusion, as if they are one thing. You know, you did such a fabulous job both on the original show and now really defining those three. While there are similarities, they show up differently and there are different expectations, there are different ways to measure, there are different meanings that people have given those. So I wonder, and this is obviously just me imagining here, is, you know, perhaps if we as a society got to a place where, you know, diversity was a given, like we can look at the workforce, we can look at any parts of society where we can see that, yes, diversity exists, whether that's in race, whether that's in gender, whether that's in age, you name it. And so if we get away from just looking at DEI being all about diversity and then you have, you know, abilities and all that other stuff that comes into it, like that's that's a given. And we really start to put our focus and our effort and our energy and our resources behind equity and inclusion and creating programming or creating structures and systems that support those. I wonder if, you know, if in our lifetime we could possibly see a shift where, you know, 20 to 30 years from now, or even when our children are in corporate, like they're not still talking about the challenges with DEI in organizations.
Oh, most definitely. And I am here for it. I am here for all of the hopefulness that comes with this. I do believe that we need to question the existing paradigm. Westbridge Solutions and I go against, and very intentionally go against, the traditional paradigm of leading with diversity, because it simply does not work. The data shows us that. And so when you mention measuring, right, that to me is why it's important to lead with data, and data that provides us with both qualitative and quantitative information. Because data, as I've said before, does not lie. It's not about our feelings or moral imperatives that really don't apply to each and every person, because morality is a spectrum of feelings, right? And so, you know, we want to think about actionable items, real pain points that everyone has. And I tend not to focus on the word should, because again, that's really subjective. And so data is objective. So when you have that qualitative and quantitative data, it shows you not only where we've been historically, but where we are right now and trends that exist right now. And it serves as the catalyst for effective and transformational decision-making processes that we can engage in the future. So data tells us where we've been, where we are, and where we can be when we make certain choices. Our feelings are removed from it, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't affect our feelings, right? When we act on data and present it to people in a way that ties into their reality. If I ask you how you're doing when we're walking through an office, you're going to say, fine, thanks, how are you? But if I say, how are you feeling about this, and give you a solid point from which to answer, you're going to tell me how you're feeling about this. Now, you might not say it to me directly. This is why we have assessments. This is why we're data driven, because they have to be anonymous, and they have to be double anonymous. So when you have a good assessment, all you should have as the assessor is the aggregate data from which to operate, right? And then you put all of that together, you see exactly what these pain points are from each representational group at your organization, and then you can fine tune and pinpoint, this is what a pain point is for this group, which it might not be for another group. So this is how you would adjust and amend. And so to that end, taking it a step further, trainings, people have seen trainings, this is another shift. People have seen trainings as the end all be all answer to everything. The data shows us that that does not work. Time and time again, it does not work. This is why I focus on strategy. I live and breathe strategy, because when you have a strategy and you have that data that shows you those pinpointed pain points, right? That's a lot of P's to say, those pinpointed pain points, right? It shows you that sometimes you need a training, but most of the time, in my experience, what you need is always a corporate buy-in from leadership, right? But you also need you may need to change your messaging, and that might be to augment your vision or your mission statements. You might need employee resource groups started. You might need changes in your communication channels, how you relay things to your employees. You might need to update your website's imagery. That alone tells me enough about a company, right? There's so many things. And then you may need policies readjusted or reimagined, then you may need trainings, right? So a training is not an easy button or a magic pill, right? That's why strategy and data will tell us everything we need to know so we can get to the places where we need to be. So in saying all of that, I am hopeful, extremely hopeful for the future. I hope that it doesn't take 20 years, but I do want to point out that we have come a long way. So I don't want any of us in the DEI world, in the business world, to feel hopeless at all. There are many struggles and challenges, right? But think about how far we've come And I want us to give ourselves some grace, right? We've all come here together. And as you said, diversity is baked into the cake. Like we all, if we look at the United States and the beautiful mosaic that makes us all Americans here in the United States, whether we are first gens like myself or immigrants or refugees or people visiting the United States, there is this beautiful mosaic that exists. But we should not discount the struggles that we continue to face, both explicitly and implicitly. So I am hopeful, but there is a lot of work to do.
Yeah. And so something that popped into my head is, you know, as you were talking about the starting with a strategy, especially when it comes to an organization, right? And having that as the North Star and really all of the components that you need to get from point A to point Z. Similarly, when you think about it just from a perspective, like if you just take away DEI, like we can insert anything into that. But when you look at human behavior and how we embrace change or we resist change, you know, there's always a goal or there's always something that we might envision that we want to achieve. And as we start, it's not until we start working towards it that all of our blinders come up, right? So all of our beliefs that have been planted, right? Or all of our biases and all of these things start to come up. And you have to, from a coaching perspective, you have to look at these things that are coming up, process the emotions or process whatever this feedback is giving you so that you can move forward to the next step. And I feel like when you look at it from a larger organism, like an organization, it's the same thing happening, right? You set a goal to create this more equitable environment in the organization, and then things start to happen. There are roadblocks, there are shifts, but somehow it's not translating that this is part of the growth process. This does not mean abandon or run away or, you know, this is not working. This is part of the growth process. This is how we as human beings grow, but yet somehow we give ourselves that grace, but we're not giving these larger systems and these larger structures that grace to grow as well. I look at just even the last year or two, like all of the now legislation, now all of these things that are being done, and people see that and they're like, oh, this is another roadblock and this is this and this is that. And I just see it as no, this had to happen. Because now we're looking at, oh, they have power to make these laws that can completely change things, right? So now it can inform you on how to approach things differently or how to navigate things differently. So I thank you for sharing that piece about strategy. I just also wanted to highlight that there's a correlation between our own evolution as human beings when we're looking to grow to when we're trying to change an entire system and a structure that's been in place for a very, very long time.
Most definitely. And I love your breakdown of that. And I love that you mentioned biases in particular, because we each are born with biases. We have biases and they are, and I say we're born with them because the moment you are able to breathe air, you are being taught something. Right. And so as you have that lived experience, as you grow into your teenhood and your even your toddlerhood, your teenhood, your adulthood. Right. Your life experiences are going to inform those biases. Those in your circle are going to inform those biases. And there are so many types of biases, you know, but we are, when we break down our brain, there are two parts of our brain. And I'm not talking, you know, left hemisphere, right hemisphere. I'm talking about your reptilian brain and then your modern brain. So your reptilian brain is there to protect you, but that's the part of your brain that forms, that holds so much of the data that forms certain biases and stereotypes, right? And so knowing that we all have those, right? If I'm walking across the street and I see a truck coming, my reptilian brain is going to tell me, get out of the way, because I know if a truck is going to hit anyone, it's going to be dangerous. How do I know that? Because I've either seen it, heard about it. Somebody told me what can happen, right? So that's part of that stored data. And it's to help us, to protect us. But then there's our modern brain that pushes us towards uncomfortability to experience new and exciting things. Sometimes they may be dangerous, right? But we want to do that. That's the inquisitive side of us. And I think just as those two parts are housed in your brain harmoniously, it's also important to understand that biases exist from a corporate standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, from any standpoint that's external, they also do exist. And biases are not just internal. So to your point about granting grace, when we're thinking about, you know, the goal, when we start with the goal in mind, we have to remember that nothing was built in a day. Things take time. And I do love that you mentioned these laws that are being put into place. And I think this should be a time for women in particular to be ignited. And we see women and their responses to various laws being instituted now around our country, across our country. And women of all creeds, all belief systems have shown their voices in a variety of ways and spoken out against things that they find to be unjust and essentially inequitable. And so to that extent, we have to believe and acknowledge the time that it takes for this to happen, this kind of change to happen in companies where we may work, right? Be it nonprofit or for-profit or corporate, across every industry. So to your point about growth as well, when lobsters grow, it's painful for them, right? When we go work out at a gym, it doesn't feel great. You know, if you've never worked out before and then you start working out, it doesn't feel great for a while. And then you start to see that changes are happening, right? When we start to learn something at school that might be challenging for us, it takes time to become an expert in that field. All of these things are done with repetition, meaning that we do the same action over and over again. What that looks like for us with regard to change and leadership is that we continue to show up, continue to use our voices, continue to speak out, but also use our modern brains as much as possible and live in spaces of uncomfortability. You and I get to do that. We have the pleasure and privilege of doing that. And I say that intentionally, a pleasure and privilege of living in uncomfortability, because we know that this, the only way to the goal is through the adversity, right? And while I wish we didn't have so much adversity, what I know is that we'll come out stronger for it. So it does take time. It's not a sprint. It is a marathon.
So yeah, thank you for that breakdown. I think it's just important sometimes, you know, when things are overused in the media or overused in different environments, and even like a platform like LinkedIn, it's easy to become desensitized to, or even just unfortunately, as much as you read, become ignorant to like just the basics. So what's really happening? And I think the individuals who can take that step back and say, okay, yes, I understand that this is the narrative, but I'm going to take a step back and look at this from a different lens, right? And I think those are the individuals who will stand the test of time. And that goes for practitioners, DEI practitioners, that goes for leaders in organizations. I get the human tendency to want to see change now. We definitely do live in a world where we expect things to change overnight. But we know in reality, that's not the case. And I don't know any one person who is considered successful by whatever definition, who will say, oh, this was an easy ride. They will always tell you that there were valley moments as well as mountain moments. There were scrapes, there were bruises. And so I just hope that those who are, to your point, you know, practicing and being the voice and being the advocates, whether they're sitting in the CDO seat or they are an ERG leader or they are a member or whatever the case may be, that you can see that this is part of the process. And as long as you as individuals don't lose heart, then as long as we keep moving forward, right? What's that statement that you only fail if you decide to stop? Failure is not the roadblock. Failure is just the decision to stop or to move away or not to do anything anymore. So hopefully that serves as some encouragement for those who are listening and those who are watching. I have one more question for you, and then we're going to get into the blitz session here. But I did want to remind you that Ratine has been on the show before, and she was actually episode 53 and 54. And so if you haven't gotten your copy of Leadership Reloaded, Reimagining, Redefining, and Rehumanizing Leadership, it is available on Amazon. I will link those. I will link the book in the comments within the show notes. Also, you know, just for those of you who are listening and possibly watching as well, I have some resources on my site that you can download for free at SabineGideon.com/SheLeads. And then lastly, it's officially the first day of launch for She Leads Network, which is back. talk about a journey of growth there. But it is back for those of you who are interested. It is focused on senior level women who are looking for community collaboration and coaching. There is an invitation out there for you. If you are interested in applying, you can check out the show notes and go ahead and apply via the link. We launch officially in January, but now is the enrollment season. So if you have questions, feel free to send me an email at support@SabineGideon.com. So with that, now that announcements are done. So we've talked about the opportunities within organizations. We talked about it with regards to leaders. So if there's anything that we could do individually to continue to move this needle where we can create the society, not just an organization, but the society that is equitable, that is inclusive, where everyone feels like they belong and they see themselves as part of this bigger mass versus the individualistic mindset that, you know, many have adopted. And that's not judgment. If there's one thing that we could do to move the needle, what do you think that might be?
Well, I would say if I could narrow it down to one thing, I would say to lead with compassion. And by that, I don't mean, you know, just roll over for whatever anybody wants to serve you on a platter and just say, okay, I'll take this. I mean, lead with strategic compassion. And as you said, the title that you have does not dedicate the level of leadership that you have. We tell children all the time to be kind, but yet somewhere along the line, we forget what kindness looks like in the adult space, when we get older. We forget what kindness looks like in the corporate space. We forget what kindness looks like in the DEI space. And so for the words change, right? Kindness turns into equity, right? And equitable treatment.
I love that. I don't want to take away from it, but I could also summarize that as just be human. Let's be human. Right. So thank you for sharing that. And so I wanted to share your desired legacy here that you shared with us a year ago and see if it's still held the test of time. So your desired legacy that you shared, episodes 53 and 54, to be remembered as someone who left the planet better than she found it and made long-lasting impacts, to be someone who helped create authentic conversations and empowered others.
Still the same.
Still the same. I love it. Oh my gosh, I can talk to you for hours, and we literally have talked
again.
But I know you have things going on because you have a lot going on. For those who are listening, how can they, if they want to get in touch with you, if they want to learn more about your organization, what's the best way to do so?
LinkedIn is where I live, work, and play. I love being on LinkedIn. You can connect with us on Facebook and Instagram as well, but I am not there. That is our team running that. LinkedIn is where you will find me always.
Awesome. Awesome. And you too released a book this year. So tell us about the book. Tell us how we can find it. Who is it for?
Well, the book, thank you so much for that, Sabine. The book is called The Ultimate Guide to Business Strategy, and it focuses on specifically SWOT analysis to help you reach optimal business success. And it's a very high level view, a very high level overview of how using SWOT analysis in 14 types of business, I don't want to say sectors, but 14 components of business that can really change the trajectory of your business. So it's really, I think it's the book I wrote for myself when I didn't know quite what I was doing. So it's, I kind of feel like it's the book that I wrote for myself, but to everyone else. It's particularly great for entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and startups, but it's also equally great for small to mid-sized organizations as well as larger companies. And I hope people enjoy it and they can find it on Amazon.
Awesome. And for those of you who are listening, I will certainly include that in the show notes so you can grab your copy as well. Like when you're, especially now at the time of this recording, it's towards the end of the year. Everyone's trying to figure out, you know, how do I make that mad rush to complete my goals? But also, what am I planning for in the next year? And this is a great tool to use that to kind of identify, you know, where you still have some opportunities. Hopefully you're thinking about how you're going to grow next year and what you're going to put in place. And, you know, where you've actually made some wins, made some headways. I think going into 2024, that's going to be a bigger focus for me of celebrating wins. Yes. I feel like I say that often, but I'm being extremely intentional about that because to your point, the growth process comes with a lot of adversity. And, you know, during those times of adversity, having the reminder of the wins and the successes and whatever else you want to call them is what helps push you through or push you further and build those resilience muscles. So thank you for that. And with that, as far as books, because I know you're a reader, are there any additional book recommendations that you would put out there for those who are listening and or watching as it relates to leadership, organizational strategy, or women in general?
So I love that question. And right now, one of my favorite sources just for inspiration in general is Marcus Aurelius. I feel that he has so many quotes that have resonated deeply with me personally and professionally, and that have endured through the test of time. So right now, I'm actually reading, and just started the other day, Marcus Aurelius' Meditations, adapted for the contemporary reader. So it is quotes by Marcus Aurelius, but the language has been adapted by James Harris, and it's a phenomenal read. But, you know, with regard to your book as well, like, you know, I think one of the things I love the most is that you explore the journey of each person's leadership, right? Because it hasn't always been great. It hasn't always felt good. It hasn't always been smooth. And you're showing the really the trajectory of what leadership can look like. And so for me, this book accompanies those books. And again, I'm so proud of you. I'm so thrilled for you. And congratulations on this book.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And with that, you know, as we're closing out here, is there any last thing that maybe I didn't cover that you want to share with the audience?
No, you totally covered it. You nailed it as always. But, you know, I want to take this moment because I know how much work you've put into this book. I know how much work you've put into growing this network. I know how much work you've put into showing up each and every time. And so I want to take a moment and flip it on you for a moment and just shine the light on you. And what the work that you do, it's meaningful, it's impactful. And I always say the work that we do, we're doing it for people that we might never even meet. So I want you to know how impactful you are, how much your intent and your impact are aligned, and how that resonates with people all over these LinkedIn streets and world. And so I want to commend you on this work that you continue to do. Here at Westbridge, we say, you know, our slogan is empowering professionals for success. And you are the epitome of doing that. So thank you for empowering all professionals, particularly women, for success.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I every single last word. I thank you for sowing those seeds into me. I appreciate your support. I appreciate your encouragement. I appreciate the work that you do out in the world. And so with that, we will be back next week with another female powerhouse. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we will talk soon. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of She Leads Now. If you found today's episode helpful or got a piece of insight that you plan to implement in your business or organization, I would love to hear from you. Connect with me on LinkedIn at Sabine Gideon, that's my handle, and send me a private message, or feel free to go ahead and leave a review on either Apple or Spotify. I also invite you to share this episode with anyone in your network who you think might benefit from this content. Lastly, be sure to check the show notes and the description below for links to resources, including relevant downloads, articles, and any upcoming training. Until we chat again, have a blessed and powerful week.